VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning once again. It is 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here on this bright, sunny Saturday at the end of another month. Where do they go? Five down, seven to go by my count. Unbelievable. We would normally be looking at Memorial Day tomorrow, but being a leap year, threw an extra day on at the end of February, which pushed it back, so we took care of that this week and wound up with a shortened week in the market, during which a bunch of stuff happened. But first, I'd like to welcome everybody, all the regulars, welcome back. Thanks for always being here. You know you're the reason that we keep doing this well into our sixth year now on air. And if you just found out about us or happened on, stick around for the hour. We always promise you that you will learn something, maybe something useless, maybe something useful. But you'll learn something. It's inevitable. So we're going to discuss all kinds of things today. Obviously, there's a lot of things that impact you and your money that are going on. So this week, we had the riots. We're still trying to get over this coronavirus thing and so on. And it seems like pretty much everything in the world is kind of dour and awful and rotten. So how'd the market turn out?
Pretty darn good.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which just proves what we always say. The market doesn't care about today. It cares about tomorrow and 6 months from now and 9 months from now. And it's saying, hold on. It's going to be fun.
And honestly, if you don't focus on what the news wants to talk about and you look at what's actually happening in economic news, there are some signs that are starting to look pretty good out there. So it's not going to be presented to you in that fashion on most shows.
It will.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about it. So there was a lot of talk about the economies of different states opening back up this week, and we're seeing it here in Florida for sure. The traffic is, I would say, pretty close to normal summertime levels at this point, not quite school year levels, and we were finishing up the school year in Duval County this week, so congratulations to everyone who just got done on Friday.
Yep. Almost a 4% increase in UGA, which tracks the price of gasoline, just on Friday, I think it was.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, people, the volume is definitely there.
Summer is normally the time when people drive to take trips, and this year, since they're not going to fly, they're definitely going to drive. I think you're going to see a tremendous amount of people taking driving summer vacations this summer, which should do good things for the price of gas from an investor perspective, not so much from a consumer's perspective. But
mixed bag when you work in this business.
Definitely. So we saw pretty big gains across every asset class this week, across sectors and even across countries. The S&P 500 tacked on 3%, while the Dow gained 3.8%, and the NASDAQ was up just 1.8%, but it has the only gain of the year. It's up almost 6% in 2020. The S&P 500 is now down just 5.8% for the year, and the Dow is down just over 11%. All three are still down from their February peak, but remarkably, the NASDAQ is just 3.3% off its all-time high.
Wow.
Pretty incredible.
It's very nice.
We closed out May with gains across the board of more than 4%, and the NASDAQ once again led the way with a gain of almost 7%. On a sector basis, financials led the way up, gaining about 6% this week. They've had a pretty rough year.
Happy to see that.
Pretty rough year, though. They're still down almost 24%. They're the second worst performing sector behind energy, which amazingly has come up about 60-something percent off its low.
And if it doubled from here, it'd be back to good.
Yeah. Energy was also the second worst performing sector this week, behind only communication services. Both were up less than 1%, but still showed gains. Brazil, for the second week in a row, led all countries, gaining over 10% just this week. Italy, France, Spain, and Germany were not that far behind, all gaining between 6 and 8%. Even China and Hong Kong posted small weekly gains, despite the tremendous amount of turmoil they're currently involved in.
I laugh about Brazil because it's so nuts down there.
Oh, yeah. Their market
is bonkers.
It goes and our moves are nothing compared to theirs. Yeah,
we've restricted travel from there now because their coronavirus situation is out of control. How'd the market do in Brazil?
Up 10.
Great, thanks.
But it was down 40% to start the year or something like that.
That's why I laugh, so I can't figure it out.
It's crazy. What's even crazier is the whole situation in China and Hong Kong, and yet their market still posted small gains this week. Commodities were mixed, with oil and silver posting gains. Gold and natural gas posted small losses. The bond market had small gains almost across the board, except for long treasuries, which I think might be the riskiest thing you could buy right now.
But that's the truth.
They lost more than 1% this week, and they're still up over 21% on the year. This is in bonds.
Yeah.
It's crazy. This week, we will discuss some signs that the worst of the this fast and furious recession is behind us. First, let's look at the jobs. Well, initial jobless claims posted a huge number of losses, over 2 million. It has now dropped for 8 straight weeks. So we are down to just over 2 million, which doesn't seem right, but it is. More important than initial claims, though, is continuing claims, which appear to have peaked in early May.
Mm-hmm.
Despite more than 2 million workers getting laid off this week, continuing claims dropped by almost 4 million workers. And they're back down to 21.05 million. And that is, it's a week behind on that report.
Exactly.
So it'll be
talked about that last week.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what happens this week because.
Well, look, every single day this week, you wake up in the morning and it shows the states where something new is opening up.
Right.
And there's usually a half a dozen of them or so.
And that accelerated a lot this past week. So next week, the claims should be really, I'm looking forward to seeing what continuing claims look like next week because I think that the biggest gains or drops in that number are still to come.
And there are a few Democrat governors out there who've been dragging their feet, and they're kind of getting their butts handed to them by we the people, too.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is willing to do this all summer in any state.
It's just won't.
It's not
civil disobedience is alive and well in America. Welcome back.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the riots. We're talking about
not that at all.
Defying government-mandated stay-at-home
orders. Peaceful protest.
Right. Another interesting report this week was household income. You would guess that it would be pretty negative due to the coronavirus, but it was actually the opposite. Household income surged by 10.5% month over month in April. While hours worked and unemployment were a big negative, unemployment insurance and stimulus checks actually overcame the negatives and pushed incomes higher. This is exactly what they were designed to do, but I really had my doubts that it would work. But it did work.
And yet, despite that, the savings rate was up too.
No, not up. It was. Let me get to that. 14% of that increase was due to the one-time stimulus payments. So, more than the total 10.5% increase was due to this one-time payment. So, don't expect that report next month to be quite as good. The other remarkable thing is that while household incomes increased, we didn't go and shop and blow it all because nothing was open. So, this might have it. Either we were being responsible or we just didn't have anywhere to spend it. But regardless, consumer spending decreased by 14% in April, and the savings rate, because of those two things, shot to an all-time high of 33%. That has never happened and will never happen again.
And you know, I think it's a little of each. Common sense dictates that when you're in the throes of uncertainty, you put a little money aside. Yeah, Captain Dave's on the line, but we've only got 40 seconds. Dave, can you hang on until after the break, and we'll take you the second we get back. I'll introduce the trivia question and then bring you on. And meanwhile, there are some things that we need to discuss afterwards, not the least of which is the little feud between that guy who lives in the big White House on Pennsylvania Avenue and that guy out in San Francisco who is a real whack job and has a little birdie on his window. You know that guy?
No.
Jack Dorsey, Twitter.
Oh.
This is really fun, folks. You'll like it. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we'll pick up the phone in just a second. But first, we have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Mr. Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Kenny at 904-636-7888. With the 40 million plus people who have filed first-time unemployment claims during the coronavirus pandemic, what state, percentage-wise, has been hit the hardest with a 4,300% increase in new unemployment claims? You've got 50 choices. I'm ruling out Washington, D.C., because they never have employment problems. Good morning, Captain Dave.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Excellent. And you?
I'm fine. I need some edumacation here.
Well, you came to the right place, maybe.
All right. I have Schwab broad-based, SCHB.
Yep.
And
that's a whole market index for people who don't know.
Yeah, beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's just it's the American economy.
Yep.
But on Friday, the Dow went down 17 and SCHB went up. How is that possible?
Well, the Dow went down, you said?
Yeah.
Just
that's only 17 points down, and
yeah, right.
SCHB went up 35 cents.
How many stocks in SCHB?
I have no idea. It's the one I asked you. I said, if I wanted to buy the entire market,
yep,
what would I buy? And
yep,
you said SCHB.
That's
it
right.
Would probably be somewhere around, what do you think, 6,500, something like that?
If it's
the whole market.
I'm not sure. I think it's, isn't it less than that?
Might
now?
Be less than that. There's been so many mergers, acquisitions,
yeah,
and private taking. Anyway, it's, put it this way, it's thousands of stocks. How many in the Dow?
Oh, what, 20, 25?
30. Yeah.
30. Dow 30. So if one...
Plus, yeah, now that makes sense.
That's
now
not
that
all. Adam, explain a little bit about the weight.
Yeah.
Adam does not like the Dow,
I hate
way.
The Dow.
Yeah. Well,
I think
I
was trying
to be nice.
Clear on this show before, but mm-hmm, but the Dow is a price-weighted index, which it means that however much that stock trades for affects its weighting on the index, and it doesn't make any sense to me, but that's the way it's set up. So sometimes when the Dow goes down, it can be just one of the pricier stocks pulling it down and the rest could be trading up. It's just that's the way the index is set up. So watching, there's a lot of times a big disconnect between the broad market or even the S&P 500, which is a subset of SCHB, and the Dow. And that's why you're seeing that.
Yeah, look what Boeing does when it has a bad announcement. You can see it.
Yeah.
That makes sense because, you know, I like many amateurs, I sort of think of Dow as being the stock market.
Yep, most people do, and it's very common.
It's force of habit, and I've complained about it all the time, too. But the numbers are big. It's no fun talking about the S&P 500. Oh, it went to 3,000 today,
yeah,
from 2,988. Oh, bore me. Seriously, people.
Anyway, so I'm in the black again. So
yay!
I'm in the black now.
Hey,
listen, I want to, on a serious note.
Yeah,
I tuned in early,
huh?
And maybe I shouldn't say this, but the guy before you referred to what happened in Minneapolis as an accidental killing, and there was no accident about it.
You know, I'm just going to stay out of this discussion because Adam and I were talking about it at the same time before the show, and everybody has a perception of this, and it's not germane to our line of work.
It's really talking about
something, you know, like Neil Bortz always had, the one thing we won't discuss is abortion. You can't change anybody's mind. This one's like
right.
that to me. I am going to talk about the whole situation, however, where it does affect us. But I know there's it's just so personal the way everybody's taking this. The one thing I will say, though.
I was actually, to get back to the finance,
yeah,
I was actually pleased looking at Thursday and Friday that more people didn't take more profit and stayed in.
Yeah, you and
second
me.
Week in a row. If you remember last Friday, the market went up and I was
into a
I was pretty
weekend.
Worried yeah, that it would not. So I'm pleased to see that two weekends in a row.
Yeah, the one,
yeah, hang in there, kids. Let's all make some money.
Okay, the one note I will put on that. On the other situation is when that thing happened and everybody in the country saw it on video, I have never seen such an overwhelming reaction by the public, regardless of who you are or where you're from. Everybody hated it and everybody was together and then this happened.
Yeah.
And I blame George Soros and that's the end of that discussion.
So. Well, I do have one little statement is that what the real problem is the militarization of the police departments.
Yeah, that's a contributor certainly.
So, yeah.
Lots of things
anyway,
to say.
Oh, my God, my killer dog is going to attack the door.
Oh, good. Talk to you later. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Good morning, Leroy.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Excellent. You?
Oh, good. Hey, I want to start off the trivia with Nevada.
Nevada
good
is
guess.
A good guess.
Good guess. Yeah.
It's not quite good enough.
But
well, it's a start, though.
It makes
a
lot
start.
Of sense.
You only got 49 more states.
Should we make it easy?
How would Obama say that? 52 more states or whatever.
You don't want to tell us the one you missed on, do you, Adam?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Then we still have 49 choices, and we still have 36 minutes. So,
but I like the way you're thinking, Leroy, because you know, with so much the economy dependent on tourism in Las Vegas, it makes a lot of sense, and there isn't that much else there. So that's a great guess.
And they are just starting to turn the lights on the Strip too. Yes, it's just beginning now. So it actually was an excellent guess, well thought out, and incorrect.
Okay, another question real quick here.
Sure.
About stocks. I was reading this morning, I was talking specifically about GE stock, which I talked to Adam about.
I noticed some transactions.
This would be a buy, he said, was a buy at $11.
No, that's not what I said. I said that.
No, what you said, what I read this morning.
Okay, I got you.
Not what you said. But it just seemed funny that why this guy would, why would you say it would be a buy at $11 when it's like $6.78?
Yeah, well, if you like it at 11, you should love it at $6.78.
He bought it now and he wants to sell it at 11 minus whatever 2 cents or something, so that you guys can buy it and he'll make his $5 a share probably.
Or maybe he was saying it's a buy all the way up to $11.
Could be.
I think that's what he meant, but I wasn't sure. But you guys are a lot smarter than that.
We don't deal very much in individual stocks, as you know. But if somebody calls in and wants to know in the business or whatever, then of course we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I mean GE is a crazy story. What's happened with that once proud company?
Oh, yeah.
As we talked about this week, but
Jack Welch must be rolling over in his grave.
Man, he's
the poor guy.
It would be killing him if he hadn't already passed.
Yep, you're right about that.
Well, they said that like their big one, their big seller is the engines.
Yeah.
Okay. Right now, aerospace is bad, but they don't make money on engines. They sell those almost at price point.
Huh.
They make all their money on services.
Okay.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. Yeah, then maybe you get some sensibility in there.
You have to sell the engine to be able to service it.
Yeah, a lot of them are sitting idle right now, too.
Oh, yeah.
In airports.
Okay, guys, I'll let you go.
Thanks, Leroy. Have a good
day.
Good morning, Greg.
How y'all doing this morning?
Fantastic. And you?
I'll be better if I get this question right.
Well, let's see then.
How about Florida?
Good guess.
That is some excellent thinking, and it's not right.
Oh, well.
But I want to tell you something. We came in second. So if your thinking was very good.
Second place prize?
Yes, it does.
Which
means
is?
You get nothing.
You can call again
next
week.
I get to call back next week.
No, actually, that's not true. You get the entire show today free.
Well, that's actually worth something.
All right.
I see you guys every week. Y'all are great.
Thanks so much.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Well, we certainly have narrowed that down, haven't we?
Yeah. So not the ones that everyone would have thought.
Guess what I found? You never understand that this could actually happen. I found a smart person who was on the Fed. I'm not making this up.
I'm dubious.
Yeah, we should be. The Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland chairman is a guy named Michael Bryan. And he wrote a scholarly, very short little piece that I found this morning about inflation and its causes. And after this phone call, we'll talk about it. Good morning, Larry.
Quick guess, California.
That was the one Adam picked and wouldn't tell you about. But
okay,
he's
well,
so nasty, isn't he? He's hard to get along with. But I'm glad we got it off the table. It's an excellent guess, but it was not right.
Thrill of the hunt. Thank you. Yeah.
Right, and the reason I thought of California was just the length of the shutdown out there would lead to more layoffs. And so I thought that might be the reason for this. But
this is one of those times when the worst is just a relative thing because everybody got hammered.
Yeah, it's true.
We're getting it narrowed down, Adam.
Yep, we'll get there.
Good job, guys.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right. And Mr. Bryan explains that inflation is an addition to the currency not based on a commensurate increase in the production of goods. It is a monetary phenomenon. It always has been, and it always will be. And if you want to get some education on that, Milton Friedman, the single best economist that ever lived, in my humble opinion, is he has written an excellent treatise on money that is easy to find. You can find it at Amazon or whatever. And I really, really suggest you get it. Anyway, he goes on to say that the problem became institutionalized by the embracing of Keynesian economics by much of the business and American political people, and he is absolutely right. Governments can print money. Governments cannot print wealth. Take that to the bank, and you'll be fine. So, I only have a couple seconds. I can't take the call until right after the break, so hopefully you can hold on through the break, and we will be right back and take your question and maybe have a trivia reward. All right, don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our trivia question is still out there, and I bet we might be about to take another shot at it. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's happening?
Yes, you're right. I would like to take a shot at it.
All right, what do you think?
I'm thinking Hawaii.
Ooh, that's another interesting guess. Not correct, but interesting.
Oh, gosh darn.
Well, they're pretty dependent on the tourist industry, so I think that the Florida guess and the Hawaii guess are both very valid. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty much all tourism and pineapples down there. So.
Yep. It's just, and a small population, so
exactly.
A number of layoffs could make a big impact. Yeah.
It's just a guess. Proves once again that talk radio listeners are the smartest group of people out there. They actually think, consider, and draw conclusions. I love it. That's why this job is so much fun.
It's narrowed down to what, 46 now?
Yeah,
that's it. Good luck.
Thanks. Have a good weekend.
You'll have a great day.
Bye. All right. The squabble this week was between one president and one CEO, I guess. And it's wound up, but I'm just going to get into it. Why am I talking about this? You'll see in a second. It's about the First Amendment. The First Amendment has had a lousy spring, let's face it.
The worst.
We have reason to fear for its continued existence. There are those out there who have openly stated that it has to change.
And it's a growing number
it
of
is
people
indeed
saying that, which is really sad.
Yeah. So what we've seen, that probably the most prevailing abuse is the overreaction by government, which was, of course, based on the coronavirus, and it seems to have placed freedom of speech, assembly, and religion on, for those of you who are fans of certain old movies, double secret probation. We the people are currently using one of the other precepts of the very same First Amendment to complain, and that is to redress our grievances against the government with peaceful demonstrations. Now we move on to Minnesota. We have been inundated this week with display after display of public ignorance that absolutely boggles my mind. The most apparent, of course, is in the Twin Cities, where residents are ruining their own neighborhoods that took years to build in what started out as a very respectable and widespread, genuine protest. Peaceful protests are part of the First Amendment and should be honored as such, even if you disagree with them. Willful destruction is not covered. I brought it out and read it again this morning, just to be sure. And I didn't see anything about willful destruction of property being covered by the First Amendment. What ever happened to Minnesota nice? Now we move on to California. Never to be outdone, Silicon Valley started a new chapter of self-definition of the First Amendment, and it happened in one of the technology giants. Usually when they release a big, exciting new deal, it has to do with some technological breakthrough, but not this time. This time it leaked into the field of journalism, a space where they are decidedly uncomfortable, apparently, and unknowledgeable, having only a passing familiarity with what that might mean. From there, here's where we come in. It bled over to investors. That got my attention on Wednesday night and Thursday morning. I call it the Dorsey effect. Most Americans are familiar with Twitter. only a relative handful are actually users, but a lot of people, we get invaded by it here and there because of various and sundry things. The biggest presence in the Twitterverse belongs to President Trump, of course, who has follower after follower. And so far, his tweets, while people complain about them, have been left to stand, as they should be. And this week, Jack Dorsey took the, he's the head of Twitter, by the way, and he is what I refer to as a self-important Looney Tune. That is my opinion. You can live with it or not. He decided to enter that black hole known as censorship by, quote, fact-checking, incompletely, I might add, the president's feeling about mail-in voting. If he had done that, found out what he wanted to find out, and kept his opinion to himself, no harm, no foul. Anybody can do that. But he published his findings on Twitter so that everybody could read it. What happened to the NASDAQ futures the next morning was unpretty, to say the least. Now, let's go on to voting issues for a moment. The when you publish a conclusion that's based only on a couple of people that you found that agree with you, ignoring the other side altogether, no good is going to come of this. It reminds me a little bit of Elon Musk sticking his neck out on Twitter every now and again. And here's where the real problem can creep in. And that is whether or not someone is protected by a specific law that doesn't protect other people. And Twitter has that. The social media platforms have it. So back in 1996, Congress passed the Communications Decency Act, or CDA. That timing was pretty obvious because at the moment the Internet was becoming ubiquitous, entering homes, businesses. Every day somebody, lots of new people got the Internet as part of their everyday life. Within Section DCA, or DCA, is Section 230, which expressly limits the liability of providers of, and I quote here, interactive computer services. Social media providers assured themselves, and no doubt at great expense, I'm sure they had to buy a lot of votes on that one, to make sure that they were not held liable for what other people wrote. They remain untouchable to today, and it's still hard to disagree with that.
Which I strongly agree with. They should not be. If someone calls in a bomb threat, you don't sue the telephone company that they used to make the call. It's one person expressing that view on their platform.
But here's where we're going to get a little further into the weeds here. What investors need to know. Twitter's arrogance on this issue, deciding to censor something, stepped over that line. It's appalling, I think. But what's even more appalling was the reaction of the media people and people on the street, which shows an even more appalling display of ignorance of things Wall Street. How many times this week have you heard someone state with absolute certainty, Twitter is a private company and it can do anything it wants? I've heard it from Steve Doocy. I've heard it from all kinds of people this week. Twitter can do anything they want. They're a private company.
No.
Let's take a look. Pull up Yahoo Finance, Google Finance, whatever you want to do, and type in TWTR and hit return. And what do you get? You get the share price of Twitter, which you can buy on the open market. Anybody can. That makes it a publicly held company. If you think, or if anybody else thinks, the SEC doesn't regulate Twitter, you need to get some further education. The least you can do is listen to this show every week and you'll learn something about it. It is not a private company. Vanway Financial is a private company.
Yep.
You couldn't buy a share of stock at gunpoint.
It doesn't exist.
No, there isn't. It's just plain and simple. So I would guess that almost everybody listening here is actually an owner of Twitter.
Probably in one way or another.
Yeah, if you've got the QQQ or SCHP. You've got a technology thing, yeah, broad market. I would bet almost everybody, if they really did a deep dive into their portfolios, owns Twitter. Now, do you want Twitter to be able to do whatever it wants? I don't. I bet maybe you do. Anyway, the NASDAQ reacted very badly with a sharp drop on Wednesday night, Thursday morning in the futures. Now, let's see, how stupid was it? Well, let's go back a little ways. In April of 2018, and again in October of 2019, Zuckerberg of Facebook testified in D.C. about the power and influence of social media. Dorsey himself testified in September of 2018. Who called those? You think they were called by Republicans? No, they were called by both.
Yeah, that was...
They were all angry at these people. So if you've managed to irritate every single person in Washington, D.C., and you are the CEO of a company in which I have a stake, you're not going to be a very popular person with me.
Oh, really? I kind of like that he ticked off everybody.
Well, better than taking off one side or the other, yeah, I guess, exactly. But only in that. Anyway, the social media monopolies, which is my word, you can call them whatever you want, they have that special carve-out in federal law. And if you follow a guy named Josh Hawley, he's a senator from Missouri, he's been on their case for a long time recently, and I'm going to pick this up right on the other side of the break because the conclusion takes longer than the few seconds I've got left. But the sleeping giant has been awakened, and no good is going to come of this unless they do it right. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
Trivia question still out there. What state was hit the hardest percentage-wise with a 4,300% increase in unemployment claims? And we're down to 46 or 45 now, possible choices. This segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. And as I stepped out of my house this morning to take the dog out, I noticed that the grass has loved this week. We got such a nice soaking that we all needed so
badly. We really needed it, no doubt.
And I think it grew 2 inches overnight. So guess who's probably at my house taking care of that? Anyway, back to the Twitterverse and the impact on NASDAQ and so on. The spoiled brat that runs Twitter is not just influencing Twitter. He's also influencing some other companies that probably won't take it quite as well, such as Facebook. The Section 230 exemption that they have, which Adam and I both agree is very important, you should be allowed to exercise your First Amendment rights on their platform, and that does not reflect their opinion. It's exactly what you hear when we sign onto the radio station. This hour is paid for by us. The opinions that we give in here are ours. It does not reflect on the radio station in any way, shape, or form, period. So let's just call him a spoiled brat. You know what happens to spoiled brats eventually. All right, enter the R word now. R is for regulation. When the company irritated both sides of a political body such as ours, they are going to feel this undeniable urge that they so often feel.
They got to do something.
Do something.
Exactly. Something. Something needs to be done about this.
Do something. So what happens when this is emanating from the very highest level of the company? This is not a good thing when that CEO reports to his shareholders. And I'll give you a number in a minute and show you what happened. Now, let's stipulate here that there's not going to be any swift justice on this, because what's likely to happen is that the regulation will come out first through Trump. It'll be, of course, challenged right away in the courts. The Congress will pick it up and see if they are going to do anything about it. So you're going to have all three branches of government dealing with this thing. Now, many of you might remember one of my favorite old sayings, that a good business deal is where everybody walks out smiling, but a good government deal is where nobody walks out smiling. And I hope that at the very least we get a deal here where nobody's smiling. We'll see. I don't think you can please both sides of this. So are you personally affected? Well, like I said, almost everybody out there owns some Twitter stock someplace or other. And what happened Friday, I think, just exemplifies the whole thing. The NASDAQ gained over 1% on Friday and remains positive for the year. Twitter lost nearly 2%. So, Jack, you looking out for your shareholders?
Yeah, it's a tough one, because I'd really agree that they should not lose that protection. But the way things are going, Trump is going after it, and I don't like that at all.
I don't either.
And I hope it does not come to that. because I think it'd be a major loss of a First Amendment right.
And when the fingers are pointing at each other, well, he started it.
Right.
Yeah, that's what childish. It reminds me of. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. I bet I know what you're going to think.
And what would that be?
Well, if you're up to your usual, you'll think the right answer.
Well, maybe, maybe not. This is another guess. I'm sitting in here in a restaurant in, near Nashville, so it's a guess. How about New York?
Oh, another good guess, but no, sorry.
So now, what was the question?
The question is, what state has been hit hardest by layoffs during the coronavirus percentage-wise, with a 4,300% increase?
So New York's a great guess because they got hit hard, but their population is probably too big to win this particular award.
That wasn't what I was referred to, the question.
Gotcha.
The question was not given me. Okay.
Take careful notes.
I will. I'll be sure to not listen to him next time.
How are things in Nashville? Looking better up there?
They are. It's wonderful.
Good.
Yeah.
It's a very important piece of this world, getting back to having music and bars and restaurants and such.
Yes, my cousin-in-law is going to probably be called back to work within the next week or two.
Yay! And you may have heard today that they're going back in droves now, and the ongoing claims continue to fall sharply.
Very good.
It's wonderful, isn't it? I love it. All right, you take care of yourself. Drive carefully.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, speaking of coronavirus, Adam has some very interesting numbers and a couple of conclusions that we can draw from those.
I do. This is from Brian Westbury, who's the economist over at First Trust, which is a company that they do ETFs and UITs and other financial products. He is their chief economist. He's amazing. He's on the news very frequently on the national channels talking about different things. He sent out a letter this week called Confusing Scary with Dangerous, and it's just so well written.
It's well titled.
Yeah, it is, because what he says is that coronavirus, while extremely high on the scary scale, if you look at it on actual danger terms, it's not nearly as dangerous as it is scary. So, and he backs that up though with some really good numbers behind it. If you Google search on the term virus, it brings up over 1.5 billion news results.
Billion.
Whoa. So, yeah. And then, but if you compare that to something like heart disease, which has actually killed about 200,000 people, Americans, in the time that coronavirus has killed 100,000, you get 100 million results. So a fraction of what you get for virus. So
we'll pick this up in a second. Good morning, Greg.
Yeah, I want to take a stab at it.
Sure.
How about Texas?
Texas was a wonderful guess, and it's also not correct. I like the way everybody's thinking, but there's one. I'm probably not the nicest guy in the world when it comes to these things. If I had not been surprised, it would not be this week's trivia question. Plain and simple. But you're all doing great. Keep it up.
Let me run this by you.
Sure.
How about the inquiry about the Washington State's unemployment loss? Did you ever look into that?
I could not find a thing. I Googled through everything and binged through everything, and I could not find a thing.
Yeah, I could not find it either. I meant to bring that up. Thanks for bringing it up.
I appreciate that. But yes,
I searched all over, and I could not find a reference to it. So I don't. I just don't know where to find it.
I found one from the 90s or something like that, some sort of oblique reference to it. But no, if you've got anything, please forward it to info@vanwayfinancial.com, and we'll take a look at it.
It's amazing how they can bury it that quickly.
Oh, they're very good at this.
Yeah, right after we had this conversation, I went and looked it up, and I had to go to a West Coast talk show. And, because he brought it out to the public, which is how I heard about it,
Okay.
And, of course, the number now is from billion. It was 3.8 billion. Hmm. They dropped it to the millions. you know, and some of those millions have been brought back out, but there's nothing about 3.8 billion, you know.
So, well, Greg, send me a link this week. I'll take a look at it and do some more research. If I can get a place to start, I can probably find out more.
Good to go. Good to go.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend. Marshall.
North Dakota.
You went for the
small
population.
How many do we have left now? 41?
Yeah, about 40, like that? 41, yeah.
That would be a no, sorry.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Take care of yourself. Talk to you soon. This one turned out a little tougher than I thought.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad I'm not the only one surprised. That makes me feel a little better. All right, a couple more quick numbers. We got a little time left.
Yeah, the point of that last stat was that the media has talked about this so much, it makes it so much more scary than it is dangerous, whereas real things that are actually dangerous aren't being talked about as much. And it's just a balance between what is real and what is perceived based on the amount that you hear about it. And the whole letter is only 2 pages. I'd highly recommend, I'll post it on our website. It's excellent.
Bottom line on the school kids.
We shut
schools down.
Oh, yeah. I don't have time to get into all of it. But, yeah, basically the people 21 or under have a 0.00008% chance of dying, or roughly 1 in 1.25 million.
And yet we shut down all the schools.
Yeah.
So you can elaborate on next week. Don't look too far away from home, folks. The state that got hit the hardest was Georgia at 4,300% increase. Florida and Kentucky were tied for second at 4,000. And nobody wants to be any of those. So hopefully we can recover fastest too. Well, we'll see you next week, same time. Thanks for listening. This is the Vanway Financial Hour.